Welcome, everybody. Thank you all for joining us this afternoon. My name is Noel Ward. I'm from Brimstone Hill Associates, and I'm the moderator today. Welcome to the Printing Impressions webinar, Successful Crossover Color, Streamlining Digital and Offset Technologies. It's sponsored by Canon today. We really appreciate their sponsorship of this. Canon puts out a number of great products that really do a good job of color. And it's real fitting that they're helping us out with this. We have a couple people with us today who are going to be talking with us. We have Brian Boyajian from MicroPage in New York City and Mike Savigny from Color from Chromatics in Glendale, California. There are a couple of print pros who are going to be telling you about their shops and how they've met some of the challenges that have with crossover color between offset presses and digital presses. But first, I want to get a little housekeeping out of the way. If you have any technical difficulties, you can troubleshoot by clicking on the help widget at the bottom of the console screen. It has a question mark down there, and you can check on that, or you can let us know via the Q&A box. You just do a chat kind of dialogue with us that way. You also use that Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We don't have a live voice feed for you guys listening, but if you are able to just put a question into the chat as a text, we'll see that, and we'll be able to address those questions at the latter part of the hours. But you can send them in any time you want. Please be sure you turn off any pop-up blockers in your computer so that you can utilize all the widgets and bells and whistles that are in the console. And one tip for you is there's a tip for attendees widget on the screen to learn all the things on there, that different things you can do, and you can customize your experience that way. So I'm going to first let you know a little bit about the speakers today. Brian Boyajian is at MicroPage in New York City. They do a whole range of different types of color printing, and they're using both offset and digital presses. And he's had a lot of time to juggle the differences of how they run jobs on both presses, and sometimes it's the same job on both machines, just different run lengths. Mike Savigny's had some of the same kind of experience in the West Coast, and he's going to be sharing with you some of those differences. He's been in the business quite a while, just like Brian has, and we really appreciate their participation today, and we're looking forward to hearing about their experiences. So I'm going to start off with a couple of words of my own, and I'll sort of lead into the topic as soon as we get technology to cooperate here. There we go. Move on another one. I'm behind in clicking slides. I'm sorry, folks. So one of the things you're out there as a print provider, you recognize your customers not only want color today, they're expecting you to deliver color. And they're not just expecting you to deliver okay, nice-looking color. They want the color to look spectacular. They want it to look really great. And while they're doing that, you know, you're faced with the trend we've been seeing for years. Run lengths are decreasing. They're going down all the time. There's more and more jobs shifting from offset presses going on to digital presses because of these shorter run lengths. At the same time, there's perfectly good reasons to keep a job on an offset press and try to find a way to make that run length as short as possible. But if you need to mix it between a digital press and an offset press, customers want the color to look as much the same as it possibly can. So that's a challenge everyone is facing. The mixed runs are commonplace. There's static content, there's variable content, there's customers wanting fast turnarounds, they have immediate need for longer runs and immediate need for short runs. And they have some jobs where you want that short run right now and you want to turn around and have that turn into a longer run next week or next month. And throughout all of this, color is still a challenge. So that's one of the things we're going to be talking about today. Now, the customers, at the same time, they're more and they're less discerning. Sometimes, you know, you talk, get in discussions on this. I see things like this all the time when I go over on LinkedIn, is how demanding customers are getting. Is good enough color, is what I call it, is good enough color good enough, or does something have to look spectacular, or somewhere in between? But the thing that's become clear is that offset is no longer the ideal standard. I saw this and had this conversation a number of times at Drupa. I had it even a couple weeks ago at Label Expo. Offset, or in the case of label printing, Flexo, is no longer the standard. Digital can have a wider gamut. Offset quality is not always required. And more acceptable quality or good enough quality, friendly color, pleasant color, whatever terminology you want to use for it, is becoming more and more common, more and more acceptable in many shops for many applications. It certainly isn't all the time, but it's one of the things that I'm seeing more and more is coming to be sort of the acceptable need in the marketplace. But at the same time, you're chasing color around the page very often. You know, you'll get the logo to come out just right, and by that time, the color, the skin tone, or the color of the grass, the memory colors, they're not quite right. There's a fashion shot. Might be the dress isn't the right color, but the logo of the designer is just right. And you wind up chasing color around the page and having to balance a whole number of different factors. It's challenging, and it's difficult for everybody involved. So you're matching output across different presses, offset to digital, and there's standards in play for all this. And there's three of them up on the screen, Grackle, Swap, G7. I mean, it's an alphabet soup of these. And where do you play? How do you balance all that out? And who gets in the middle of it? Your color management software, whether it's the RIP that comes from your print engine vendor or it's a third-party software. It's still in there. You still have to learn how to use it, and you need to learn how to work with it across multiple machines in your shop, even multiple digital machines, and offset presses as well. And that all makes it a little bit challenging to have it all come out right. And so you look at the different other influences that are in there, making it harder. You're trying to manage the color, and you're managing more than software. It's the machine selection. Is that machine calibrated right? Is the operator really as skilled as he or she needs to be? Do they need extra training? Do they need to know more things than they know presently? Are there more tools that they can be using? And then there's paper. I mean, golly, paper changes the color dramatically. We all know that. And then you have to handle spot and logo colors. But at the end of the day, you're also managing customer expectations. These are the kind of things our guys today are going to be talking about. And we're going to go right over now to Brian at MicroPage. And, Brian, welcome. Thanks for coming in today. And it's over to you.
Thanks, Noel. Yeah, my name is Brian Boyage. I'm the owner of MicroPage, which was founded 25 years ago. If you can't hear me, if you hear any background noise, just send text messages to Noel. He'll take care of it. So MicroPage, 25 years ago, is a fairly long time in the print market, in the graphics market. What I'd like to do is, show you today about our clients and markets, our current equipment and such, along with the value of color management and how we manage color, along with color profiles and the benefits that we see from that. So 25 years, we pretty much have the same clients and markets. They have evolved quite a bit, but we're still in the ones that we were there at that time. We grew from a typographic firm. We were in the middle of PostScript. There were many, many issues going on. There weren't enough type conflicts to count, and it was a miracle to get jobs out at that point. I'm going to talk about our current equipment, but our past equipment, the graveyard consists of, say, four Linotronic image setters, a multitude of match print systems, DS color scanning, a Kodak prophecy system, and quite a few digital copiers along the way. The value that we see in color management is very key. We've evolved the business in the last 2 years. What you're seeing on the right there is our lobby as you enter the Masonic Building in New York. We're just on the left side. We have about 2,500 square feet. When we had offset presses, we were about 10,000 square feet with a 20-plus personnel, and now we're just about half that size. How we manage color is very key to our clients. What they expect is perfection. They want us to anticipate their needs even when they're hiring people who don't have the expertise that they had years ago. All right, let me go to the next slide here. Our key markets are really still ad agencies, and those ad agencies, there's a graphic below there, which is C-Town. That's a 12-by-15 hardcover book that we produced over the summer for a large ad agency who had a large client, and that book was, we only did one. It happened to be for a TV commercial. I wound up doing two because I didn't want the phone call that somebody's cup of coffee inadvertently spilled on the one book, which was the prop in the TV commercial. So we did two books, very, very rush, very high drama, dealing with a photographer, dealing with an agency. You can imagine the type of attention that it was getting. They also asked us for a dust cover. So the dust cover, of course, wouldn't fit on the Canon image press, is what we produced the book on. So the dust cover had to be done on one of our HP 5000s, and we had to manage the color we knew between the dust jacket along with the book. And the dust jacket happened to be laminated, so that was an extra wrinkle there to make sure that happened. all of the products that we produced were really those just two books, and then they wanted six more dust covers for a stack of books that was going to be photoed off to the side. And then the day of the shoot, which, of course, is rather expensive for agencies with the whole cast of about 30 people on the set, they threw us 30 posters, and they said, you got to do these. The other vendor crapped out. It doesn't look good. It doesn't match what you did. So then we took on 30 posters, and, of course, they wanted those to exactly match what we had produced in the book. So, of course, that's where color management comes in. The image press is rather different in substrates and printing method from an HP 5000. And luckily, we had invested in some color management software. When we were still in offset printing with a Heidelberg, we used GMG to manage color proofs on an Epson to match the color coming off of the Quickmaster. And so had we not had the software that day, there's no way they would have gotten that project out. And the invoice did triple, so it was a win-win for everyone. Design firms are very, very key. We still look for them. We do large-scale, mid-scale design firms. We're generally looking for a micro print project. We're looking for the boardroom presentation. We're looking for focus group printing. We're not looking for, you know, the large job like we once were because we've evolved. And, you know, either we don't have the staff, we do have the expertise, but to handle a large job these days is not exactly what we're looking for. Educational market has become very key for us. We have some very strong relationships with art schools here in Manhattan. They've been developing over the last 8 years. We have 15 good relationships with professors in Parsons, Pratt, and School of Visual Arts. And that's been very, very important. At one point, I didn't take too much mind to it and took it for granted because students can certainly be challenging. Because they want one portfolio of 150 pages, and they're going to have issues on 10 or 15 of those pages. But gradually over the years, now we're dealing with about 250, 300 students per year. Each one of them spends maybe $300, so the numbers add up, and it's a very good thing. I have a teaching background, so it works. What we found there is that some of the students really excel. We had a student from Parsons who did a lookbook by the name of Shandi Tawani. We were able to introduce her to an account, and she's now doing lookbook production four times a year with that account and sending us files. Financial marketing companies over the years in real estate were always key areas. We have Corcoran Group, constantly evolving, constantly looking for value and performance, constantly looking at the bottom line, and those are very good markets for us with digital print. Fashion houses. Hold on 1 second, a glass of water. Fashion houses this time of year are a killer for us because everything happens in a couple of weeks after the market week, which was last week. So right now we have 7 lookbooks in-house. All of them have to be produced by tomorrow, and we don't have files on 3 of them. So what we're seeing there in digital print is that the lookbook from last week that we did an 8-pager and a 16-pager and we did 60 copies of, it's back this week with revisions, and we're doing 175. So that's the files we're expecting today that have to be produced tomorrow and be on a flight out to Paris at 6 p.m. Some of these fashion houses can be highly dramatic. We have Givenchy, which in the middle of the night we have to deal with retouching, and 20 lookbooks have to appear on Anna Wintour's desk at 8 o'clock in the morning, otherwise there'll be hell to pay. So those are our key markets. They're very, very demanding. We like them that way. They're able to take an invoice and be able to meet their expectations. This is our current equipment. So we have a Canon image press. We have 2 of them. We have a C1 Plus. It's a very small engine, really, you know, 1 page per minute type of thing. And then 2 Effie Rips, which we like, and then a Creo Rip, which we love, because the Creo has highlight and shadow detail that seem to go beyond what the Effie is. 2 HP 5000s, a GMG color server, and a small bindery. This is what we see going back a few years, this slide I had of the values of what we saw with color management. At one point, I think everything was important. Now I would say probably the third or fourth one down really has elevated, where between different digital print runs day to day, that's very key because we're constantly breaking up runs based on client demand, and they're changing their minds, and they expect the same color, and it's really hard to do, particularly because these engines, are demanding of service and parts, and so to have a consistent print capability like we were used to with the Heidelberg Quickmaster is our goal, and it's a challenge. Certainly the color management comes into play with profiles there, and we're able to keep machines honest. The second to last point there, between multiple digital presses, since we have two of these products, yes, the ideal would be to have them print exactly the same. No, that never happens, no matter what you do. So we just want to be able to throw a profile on and zero it into the other machine as well as we can for, let's say, a larger print run that we're getting overrun with. Between digital print and offset print projects, probably, 2-3 years ago, we were more active in this, a little less so now because it seems print volumes have gone down for us from our regular clients. Instead of 1,000 lookbooks, they're doing 500. Instead of 500, they're doing 250. And they're breaking up that run 2 or 3 times over the course of 2 days for us. This is, in a nutshell, how we manage color. It's invisible as far as a shop operation goes. There's really profiles that are downloaded into the color server, and we turn the color management off and the device itself and both of the rips, and we let GMG handle it from the profiles. To get to this point, though, you really have to invest in the time to manage the substrates and put a color limiter on it like an ISIS, and to take the color measurements and spend a few days or a few weeks sometimes developing profiles to manage what you have in the shop. All I want to be able to do is that when we get a request like we had from BBDNO with the book for the commercial, that I want to be able to have color come out of the HP the same way it's looking in the Canon image press, or as close as possible to it. I'll let you read these. The color profiles can be very powerful. They really have the ability to change the personality of a printer. And they're what makes it possible to do cross-media and cross-device. And that's key because clients now do not have the expertise to understand it. You can run out of analogies very quickly, and they really don't want to know, and they're not even curious. They just want everything to look the same, and they want to get back to their iPhones. And then on the color match there, we can run to Grackle. We choose not to because the presentational color that we have now is pretty strong on its own. I'm usually not running the Canons to Grackle, although we can. But when we know its job's going offset, then at that point we can run to Grackle, run a proof, send that proof out to an offset printer and be able to communicate with them better and to the client's expectation of color. This slide, I think it's missing some things here, so it's partial, but I got it from a vendor. It's just saying that the extended benefits here, really, if we go to a very large format device in the HP world or other larger digital presses or offset presses, we have the ability to manage it in terms of profiles. And then, I'm clicking next here. This happens to be from our vendor, which is GMG, and these are their products. And that's me. All right, I'm going to hand it over to Mike Savigny, and Mike is with Chromatics in Glendale, California.
Hi. Thanks for having me today. Brian, good job. I know you've covered a lot of things that some of the problems that we have as well. So anyway, I'm Mike Savigny. Our company is Chromatic Incorporated. We're a medium-sized commercial printing and now marketing company in Glendale, California. Started in 1978 by my father, Richard. So I would have been in seventh grade. I remember coming in to shoot line negs after school, develop them in the dark room, and burn plates and that whole thing. Ran a small chief to color after school as well, and had a huge account called Kmart. and made a lot of money from them. Since then, we've grown with my brother Keith. Now we have about 35 employees. We're doing 5 to 6 million. At one time, we were doing 12 million. And, you know, there's a lot of printers out there, you know, not doing that great at that volume. 10 million is good, but, you know, that's a little bit tough these days. Anyway, we're down to about 6 million per year. We do sheet fed and digital. We have full bindery, full die cutting. Also, we do a lot of outside die cut work with our company called Trade Die, and that's in-house right now. We've gotten into the magazine publishing business recently, and it's been a good thing for us. It's a great device to kind of fill your presses. It's work that you control, and it's a lot of fun to sell. We also have graphic design service, and we do direct mail. Direct mail comes from print shop mail off of our Canon image press as well. So, works. Okay, yeah. So we've moved into digital and cross-media marketing. Early in 2011, we made this move with Canon and installed the image press 7010. And a year later, we installed image press 6010. 6010 is virtually the same machine as the 7010, just a little bit slower and uses different power. We also installed a Duplo 645, which is quite an amazing machine. It can take your business cards, 20 up, and feed it in one end, comes out trimmed on the other end, and you're ready to go. Not a big fan of business cards, so I'll try to get them out of here as quickly as possible. We still run our Komori 6 color 40-inch as well as our Komori 628. Software, Printergy, for our main system, you know, then we're linking. Actually, we're looking at some new software too to link the Fiery to our Printergy system. The main thing with the Canon is the spot color matching that we're doing. I have a lot of clients that have, you know, logo colors, Pantone specific colors that they want to match with the digital. And Canon has some amazing software where you can, you know, print out charts that'll show all the variations of that Pantone. Basically, it's you eye it, you choose the color that matches the best, you fit that into your profile, and then we'll set up that profile for each client. So then we know for future runs, you know, we pull up their profile, we know we're going to get an exact match on their Pantone color. Also running Design Merge and Fusion Pro, also doing some web to print, you know, storefront and that type of thing. The web to print work is not as critical. We shouldn't really get into that too much. Next slide. So, okay, so today we're running long rush jobs that client may tomorrow need a few. Just like Brian, we shipped off a bunch of fashion printing to New York last week, and, of course, it's very last minute because they want to show their latest styles. So we had a lot coming off the digital last week. And next week we will be running these in a longer fashion. So this week we'll be printing some proofs that we need to match to what we did on digital. And it's not too hard. We've tried to run with the G7 profiles that we have on both machines. And so far we're getting pretty good luck this week with matching what we're going to be printing on press next week. As far as the cross-media campaigns go, there's a lot of you know, files getting merged that way. We're doing one of our publications, we're doing personalization on the covers, and then the text, which is about 64 pages on the inside, is static. So that's running on the press, and then the personalized covers on our digital, of course. And, of course, there's a Pantone color on that. Inside and outside, they need to match. So we're running Pantone on the press, but, of course, the digital, we're getting pretty close on it. Integrated mobile strategies, including QR codes and mobile-optimized pearls. Clients are actually demanding this RGB color on the screen is going to match their printed piece. getting fairly close, not exact. That's a pretty a tough one. Probably don't want to get into that today since it's some issues at this point. For our future expanded digital course, we want to kind of increase our bindery for our digital department and, of course, expand our publishing arm since that seems to be our most profitable area right now. So that's it on my front. I guess we're back to you, Noel, at this point.
Yes. Hey, thank you, Mike, and thank you, Brian. Great overview of all the things you're doing. It's pretty interesting. One of the things you had, Mike, brings me to a question that I had. As you mentioned, G7 certification. How is that helping you get the color accuracy you need? Not everyone's using G7. It's been around for a little while, but not everyone's using it yet. How was it to integrate, and how is it working for you?
It was very simple to integrate. Canon came out with the G7 techs and took about 3 days total, and then they came back a week later and took another day. It's a good profile. It prints to a great standard. Although a lot of the clients are not, we'll do a one-off as a proof, send it out. Some of the clients don't like it because it's not enough saturation. In which case, we have a secondary profile that we'll go to next. So it kind of depends on the client, but it was easy to implement and it's a good profile that we have.
Okay, good, thanks. Brian, now you have your Canon machines, you have an Indigo. You're sending a lot of your offset work out, I guess, when you do offset. So how do you work to make sure that it's going to match?
We don't have Indigo. We have two Canon image presses. So when we do have an offset project, it's generally four color. What predicates most of our offset work, obviously, is the word PMS when that comes up, but we are able to hit most of these. If we're inside of the Canon space, particularly with the Creo Rip. If a job is offset, it's either the volume there, dictating that it be offset, or it's some type of binding or registration that's important in die cutting. When we do send it out, we have about three offset printers that we work with. They're friends from 20 years ago and still running shops. And sometimes we'll use profiles. Sometimes we'll print a Grackle proof. It just depends on the type of project.
Okay, thank you.
Noel.
Yeah, jump in.
I don't know if Brian, the Canon has the ability to use a dot structure as well as kind of a linear structure. So I was kind of curious. We're using the dot structure, especially for matching our sheet-fed machines, and I was curious what Brian was using for his...
We are using that 95% of the time. Our clients still, we have print buyers that want to see a dot, and so that's why we go with the dot structure.
Okay.
I have a question here. This one is for you, Brian. You said that you don't often print to Grackle and that you preferred your own shop standard. So the question was, how did you make up that standard?
Good question. Certainly the gamut of the Canon is exciting, particularly in the purples and greens. In the oranges, it's lacking. You know, my operator right now, right next to me, is trying to work on oranges for like the fourth time, basically what will happen is they'll run out of time for this lookbook and they'll take what we have, but certainly you need to have a standard that's bigger, a color gamut that you can, rely on and be able to color correct and retouch to. And so we have about a 15 to 20% larger gamut than an offset press. And if you respect it and give it its own color space, you can do well with it.
Okay, I'm just seeing some more questions come in. I just got this one in. I'm getting the impression that digital customers prefer greater saturation than a G7 profile. That's something I've heard a number of different places. Would this make matching your devices the more important goal?
Yeah. Well, yes, absolutely. We'll run profiles. This is Mike, by the way. We'll run profiles, weekly and definitely keeping things calibrated on a daily basis with the Canon. The G7 has been matched to the press, although, as a press check, you know, the client comes in and they're always trying to crank up the color, and which is fine. Pressmen always don't like it, but that's when we're finding that the more saturation on the, beyond the G7 profile is working on the Canon.
Yeah. Okay. We find that saturation is usually not what all the designers over 40 years old would like. They like a muted offset look. We always seem to be struggling to get that. Most of the art students, for instance, want everything on Mohawk, 100-pound options, 100% post-consumer waste, and we've got to make that look good. There's no way that I can make an image press match an offset press, really, in the overall look and feel. I always tell them that. There's not going to happen. There's always going to be a little bit of a glossy look to it, and that's really the way the technology rolls.
Yeah, I know there's new technology out there that is helping with that uncoated look for some of the digital machines, the toner-based machines. But, yeah, there's always that gloss look, especially when you're going on the uncoated stocks. It's not always the look that the client's going for, although if I've noticed that some of the less saturated pieces, you can get away with it a lot easier.
Right.
Yeah, the customer expectations are always something. It's always a tough one, and it's something you always have to wrestle with to some extent. One question we got in from Lester Lithograph here is, how much education is required on the client side to make their expectations realistic? And this is offset to digital or digital to offset, and it's also would relate to substrates too. So how do you educate your customers?
We're at Chromatic, we've done a couple of lunch and learn seminars for those who are interested in moving over, where we've had customers bring in files, and we've run some tests, show them the quality of it, show them the how it can vary with the different profiles, and it kind of helped us learn what each client would like. So we're building profiles for each client as well. So we understand what they're looking for, and then when they send us a new job, we pull up their profile. What we're sending them the first time as a one-off is being approved, a little bit quicker.
Yeah, and Noel, we spend some time in the classrooms. Actually, art students, no art school is teaching production in the three art schools that we're primarily working with, but they do want to know how to print their portfolio correctly, and they want to know the issues. Our goal is to make sure we get a high-res PDF file with crop marks and bleed, and just going into crop marks and bleed can be very frightening for art students because it enters into production. But we spend time in the classrooms, and we try to prepare them so that, files come in correctly, and some of them have turned into long-term accounts.
Okay. Just got a question in, and this one's specifically for Mike. How color critical is magazine publishing, and what kind of standards do you use?
Well, the nice thing about the magazine publishing is we are the customer. So we do deal with outside people as well to help do distribution and some hotels and that. The main thing is to keep the yellows down. As far as color goes, and that seems to make our other client happy. But when it comes to problems, if we can't fix them the way we like it, it's okay because we're really not answering to anybody else, and that's the nice thing about the magazine. You fit the production in when you have the space, and you're basically the boss of the whole thing. So if you do have a problem where, you got a page behind something else, something's super red, it's not hitting it, it's okay because you only have to answer to yourself.
So this is sort of a little bit off tangent, but this is a magazine that you publish at Chromatic?
Yes. We have three magazines that we're publishing on our own now.
Okay, what are they?
Yeah. Well, one is they're all Orange County publications, and one is a luxury publication, large magazine, 9x12 format. Perfect bound. The other two are real estate based, actually. So one cool thing about Canon, sorry, a little bit off subject, but they've got some really great tools as far as you know, product development. So we did some research on different vertical markets and found that real estate was, you know, multi-billion dollar printing industry. So we tried to target that, and real estate was, has been very good to us as far as the publishing end goes. So that again, one of the publication is where we're doing the personalization on the cover and then matching the text to the sheet fed, pages. So, you know, color crossover there is where we're really running into the most issues. So, yeah, real estate is good down there. Large homes,
yeah.
Multi-million dollars, so.
Yeah, I've talked with a number of printers out in the Orange County. I did video with one of them, a couple of years ago, where they were talking about how important the real estate market was for them in terms of their business, and all of them had different color devices, but they all said, you know, being able to match their colors every time and be able to deliver the right way was absolutely critical for the real estate guys who were getting increasingly picky, they said to me. So,
yeah, there definitely is, you know, we are the end client, but you can't deliver a magazine where there are realtors paying for ads and you can't deliver them, you know, red bushes or anything like that. They're going to be upset if they have a tree in front of their house that's red. So, you know, the big thing about that, I mean, we're off subject again, but, you know, showing them results, you know, how did my piece fare, you know, and you know, tracking and that type of thing we've been able to do, and that's why they keep coming back.
Okay. I have a question here. Trying to get back on track a little bit. And this is related to color, although not directly, but what are you both finding? Either one of you can start with this one off. Is the best paper stock and weight for the majority of your machines in terms of rendering the best color results? I guess the guy probably means what papers are you getting the most reliability out of in terms of yielding the colors you want?
Yeah. Good, excellent question. Paper has got, people are extremely sensitive to paper now, much more than even 2-3 years ago. Everybody fusses no matter what walks of life. I'm not sure if that's happening because of iPhones or whatnot, but it's all become very personal. And so they want to see the paper, and that's been an advantage of, you know, having a New York location and being close to designers or people who want to see. Business owners are insane about the look and the feel. So, We generally try to do a strawberry vanilla chocolate with most people. We're not able to get away with that all the time, but, you know, we're going to do an uncoated, we're going to do a silk coated, and we might do a matte coated or a gloss coated paper. And we generally stay with high range papers like McCoy or Mohawk or Nina on any of those.
Yeah, we're having the best luck as far as digital goes and crossover color on the silk finishes, the McCoy as well. Actually there's a pace setter as a more of an inexpensive sheet that we're really having good luck, from our machines on. But the silk finish seems to be the nicest, overall. It doesn't give a huge, you know, gloss effect when the client's looking for, something that's a little more subdued. So if they do want glossy, when you put it on the gloss, you know, a top coat or McCoy gloss, you really get in a nice finish as well. We try to shy away from the uncoated papers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mike, this is another one for you. It's a follow-up on the magazine question. How do you dial down the yellow on your G7 color?
On the G7 actual, We're not using the G7 profile for that when we're dialing down the yellow. Usually if we know we're going to be running into a color issue or we need to have a color dialed down, before we run, we will go into Photoshop, massage the files there before we go to the image press. So yeah, you know, if you have enough foresight, you know, it's good to try to get as much done as you can on the front end first.
Okay. Both of you can jump in on this one. I know there's a lot of different options here for answers. But with your own experience, including things you've tried and gone on to different choices, what are some of the color management softwares that you've found that are most effective for working with the kind of job that you guys are getting?
Go ahead, Mike.
Well, The G7, you know, has been good. As far as color management goes, we are not, I can't say where you're actually using a software for that. It's more of a trial and error testing, showing customers, you know, one-offs. We are using, you know, Epson proofs as well. And, you know, we'll match that as well. Plus, you know, we're reading densities and that type of thing. But I can't say we're trying to just give the customer what they want through different means. But as far as software goes, I can't say we're stuck with one.
Yeah. I've stayed just with GMG because we had it running an Epson for proofing for the Heidelberg Quickmaster that we had. And, you know, we ran it for like 12 years, and it was great. So we stayed with it when you know, we saw our business there because of the client direction really needing the capability of doing, you know, much faster runs, smaller runs, which were very different from the kind of production that we did when we had the Heidelberg. There are, you know, other higher-end color management products from Effie and from CGS that are worth looking at. And then there's a range of products out there that are desktop level for $100 that probably work, you know, very well also.
Okay. I've just got another question, and this is not really related directly to color, but I think probably a lot of the audience will probably still be interested in it. Do you have any insights on offline finishing versus inline finishing? And what do you do? You start off with that. How do you finish some of your documents, your shops?
I'm loving the finishing capabilities of the Canon. We have the face trimmer, but we do not have the head and foot trimmer on our machine. But what we'll do is we don't even do the face trim anymore. We just we'll fold it, stitch it, and then put it on the our regular saddle stitch to do a three knife trim on it. But that's happening so fast, and we've got that down to a science now. But yeah, as much as you can do on the, you know, on the finishing side, the better. So we're loving that. And we have the stitching capability, folding and stitching capabilities on both the Canon.
So the same here. Without online, we would not be able to hit the deadlines that we have. You know, the thought of doing things offline is just not possible. So on the covers, for instance, the 8-pager that's coming in and the 16-pager, we'll score the outside cover, and then we'll run the unit so that it comes out saddle stitched, and then we'll three knife trim on the 30-inch cutter.
Are you you're trimming? You're doing three knife trim on your guillotine?
We are.
Oh, okay. Okay. I've been having trouble doing that.
It's. Certainly have to check the registration on the paper. You know, these are booklets which are mostly self-covers, a 100-pound cover or 80-pound cover. But pre-scoring the units, you have to, you know, watch when you score there how it images around the score line, but it's a big labor savings for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're also die cutting from the Canon as well with pretty good results. Tiny, tiny bit of a bounce. But for the most part, we're able to get pretty good registration on the die cutting side as well.
Okay. Just got another question in. Mike, you might be the best one to start off with this one. Because the fellow here says we're having some issues getting a stable G7 profile for uncoated stocks. Is this a common issue?
Uncoated papers. I'm guessing they're coming out different from the coated. You know, we did not really go into the uncoated world when we did our certification. As far as I, you know, I didn't spend all day with them, but I did not look at any uncoated samples. And like I said, I try to shy away from the uncoated papers when it comes to jobs coming in on the Canon. So probably not the best to answer that question.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have the experience there either myself.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, good enough. No, that's fine. We can't know everything, that's for sure. Have you seen a wider range of what is acceptable across, for to your customers across different devices? Because, you know, as you both of you mentioned, your customers want something to absolutely look perfect, be absolutely matched from one press to another. But are you experiencing any a greater range of what their sort of the range of tolerance is for different kinds of jobs? I know some things like fashion obviously are going to be absolutely critical, but other types of jobs may not be as important. What's your experience with that?
This is Mike. My experience is that yes, there is a tolerance there now. You know, we're running a dot structure on the Canon, so we're getting fairly close. But you know, even coming off the Canon, a lot of times we'll get better results, say like on a really hot red. In fact, I have a job on press right now where we run some digital pieces that had the same product on it. It's a red shoe. This shoe is you know, ran super hot and it came out nice on the Canon, but now I'm having to put a touch plate to get the red to where the client likes it because the magenta is just not cutting it. So that was, you know, sometimes you get to points where yes, you do have to make arrangements to do special things.
Yeah, I found that the expertise level of say new designers coming into the industry is doesn't seem to be as print centric as it was before. So it's a little bit easier there. On the other hand, they can be more subjective, and so I usually put a little more emphasis on the word no, like, no, we just can't do that. No, it'll never look like an offset press. No, you know, we can't feed 18-point paper through. And, you know, they have options. They have a price line. Everybody's under pressure. They all report to a budget. And so, you know, usually there's options. Now, can I do 18-point and double mount and have the registration to do that? Yes, I have three jobs like that right now. But usually if you're right up front and put, you know, what the expectations is, the are that we have of the client, it's really a balancing act.
It's always a balancing act for the customers, isn't it? Question here, and I have no idea what the answer is on this. Do you use, this is, I think, probably for Mike, do you use Curve 2 software to set your G7 curves? And is the data from Curve 2 compatible with the Caldera RIP? And you may or may not be able to answer the part about the RIP.
I can definitely not answer the part about the RIP, although, you know, the G7 people came out with the Canon RIP, I did not spend the whole day with them, so I really cannot answer that question. The curves that they set are pretty much a basic G7 curve that I know of. I haven't dug into it that far. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you. For both of you, either one of you can answer this one. How happy are you with the new digital printing technologies that you're using every day, you know, whether you're using your Canons or other devices, compared with offset? And why?
I'll go first. I'm very happy on, you know, with the digital technology. We waited quite a while before we jumped in. And, you know, I was buying a lot of digital work outside from different vendors running everything from, you know, iGens to the Indigos. And, you know, we were looking for a point of entry place as well as a point of entry, you know, price point. And found it with Canon, so we did jump in, and we're very, very happy at this point. That's why we have two machines, and I can see the future coming quickly with some new machines that I think are going to be at Graph Expo shortly here, and you know, I even see possibilities of replacing one of my presses with a large digital machine soon.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm seeing the development very, very strongly. From 1994, we had our first Canon printer. That we were just doing comps for Scholastic. We were driving a lot of film and match print on book projects, and we were using the Canon just for comps with the editors. And so we went through six Canons in the 90s. Then we got into some Ricohs just to keep people happy with small little business card jobs for personal things. And then we got a little more involved with a Xerox unit in 2006, and then we jumped over to the Canons in 2007, and that's what we've been doing, and they've met our expectations.
Okay. Another one just came in. How do you mitigate color drift on larger color demanding runs, such as photography? We know that the machines drift a bit, so how do you handle that?
Good question. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Brian.
We've done a fair amount of art books, hardcover, 150-page up to 400-page, and you worry about it because we're doing 50 books or 100 books. Yesterday I had a phone call from the Beaver Lake community, which we did a book on the Ricohs back in 2004. It was 130 pages, and we did 100 books for like $11,000. I wish I had that price back. So they want 30 books. And, we do have the files, and it's going to come on a Canon. It's going to be, above their expectations. But with the larger art books, you worry about the run. Generally, what we're seeing is if it's a, I would say after about 4,000 or 5,000 prints, we're checking it again. We're reapplying a profile. Maybe we're recalibrating, but usually not. It's very accurate. Delta E measurements that I've done on the Canon 7000s, very happy with a 4 or 5. It can exceed that, but that's our target. That may sound like, a huge number for an offset printer, but for a digital press, very acceptable for us and our clients.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the same. I'm same here. I have no problem running, 5,000 sheets, and delivering them without looking. I love to walk upstairs and see the machine running with no operator, and delivering into the 5,000 tray. And there will be some drift, but it's not really anything to be concerned with, unless you have a client that you know is going to be checking super careful, in which case I will charge them more money, and we'll, run, every 1,000 sheets, we'll take a look and possibly reapply a curve.
Okay. Just got a new one in, and this is sort of a side story to color management, but it's important if you're running the machines a lot. The question is, for both of you, on your digital presses, how consistent are colors and print quality as the consumables in the printer go through their lifespan? So over the period of time you put a new part in until that's replaced, how do you manage for any degradation in color, or are you seeing degradation in color?
I can answer that. We have two machines now. We went through a machine already, so from 2007 to 2011, we put about 12 million on one of the 7000s, and then we did a forklift upgrade from that. Canon has upgrade kits at certain levels. They're high thousands. There's a 700,000 upgrade kit. There's a 2 million upgrade kit. So they pretty well have it planned out. And I remember early on Canon saying, well, you're going to get at least 10,000 out of it. Not 10,000. I mean 10 million. So our unit that we had that we did the forklift upgrade on had 12 million. And it was still fine. It was generating some service calls because of, they've had development in the last 5 years with being smart about parts, encapsulating parts, reducing parts. They're always seem to be at it in terms of getting more uptime performance.
Yeah. Also, once they do come in and do some service, we're finding that we you have to definitely recalibrate, apply the, different curves to make sure that we're back on track. And it does change over time, and, we'll have, my people are pretty well trained now where they can go in and, fix things to get back on track to where we like it and that the customer profiles are staying put. So but it's definitely important because, I got salespeople who are going to come down to me saying, why isn't this matching? And I try to keep my techs on top of it. But, yeah, there definitely is attention that needs to be paid after service.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. I think we have maybe one more question here, maybe two. But this one, that I was going to ask this one anyway, but I it took it a while before it came in on the list here. How do you handle your customers' PMS brand colors, the real brand associated colors? They're out of gamut for your presses, like oranges, violets, greens. Yeah, Mike, I think it was you who mentioned you have someone working next to you on trying to get an orange that's just right. So how do you handle those kind of things?
Yeah, those are, yeah, well, there is some software that Canon provides that does PMS matches in particular. And basically it's just it'll give you a bunch of targets. And what you have to do is really just pick the one that's closest to what you're shooting for, and then get your client, and you show it to them. They choose the one they like the best, sign off on that, and then use that as your target. And then, save it as, log it as a customer profile as well. So it's pretty simple. It's pretty cool software. It's not always perfect depending on their color, but it gets the job done.
Yeah. I'm not sure how long it's going to be before we can all match Orange O21 on one of these presses, but I would think it's going to be a little while. And so in the interim, last week, for instance, we did 25 color prints for a designer in Rebecca Minkoff, who's got the Year of the Owner now. So we did 1,000 lookbooks for them last week with a stamp silver color. And then she's going into some PMSs here to set the corporate logo trend. And we talked, and I said, if you want your units to be produced digitally, you have to be aware of what PMSs we can hit. So education and just discussion is really important. And O21 happens very frequently, and I'm surprised at how many people, when given the price option of really hitting it and not hitting it and compromising it, they're swayed.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much, guys. This has been great. We've covered a lot of ground, and we're running out of time here. So on behalf of Printing Impressions and our sponsor, Canon, today, I want to thank everyone for attending today's webinar. Be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our archived and upcoming events. And also, this presentation will go on demand tomorrow at 2 p.m. And questions that haven't been answered, we'll try to pass those on to the speakers, and you may be contacted with answers directly from them, because we have your login information for all of you who are listening. So to wrap it all up, thank you once again to Canon for sponsoring today. And thanks, Mike. Thanks, Brian, for taking the time out of your busy days to join in and help us all out here. And we look forward to seeing you at the next webinar, and thanks very much.